This episode of the Real Fit Podcast is brought to you by the Real Nourished newsletter. Real Nourished, reinventing your relationship with food, is for you if you are ready to stop micromanaging your food and exercise so you can start fully showing up to your life. Each biweekly issue features evidence-based tools that will help reduce your food-related anxiety, improve your body image, and help you embrace exercise as a form of nourishment, not punishment. When you subscribe, you'll get my free guide, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. To get in on it, just click on the link in the show notes or visit my website, pam-moore.com. Hey, welcome back to the Real Fit Podcast. This is your host, Pam Moore. Thank you for joining me. Today is a quick solo 10-minute Tuesday. I want to chat with you a little bit about joyful movement. I just want to pop in a little disclaimer here that I'm speaking about joyful movement and rejecting diet culture. We are in a culture that demonizes fatness, and I am in a thin body. And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that it's a lot easier for me to confidently say it's okay to reject diet culture. It's okay to exercise for the pure purpose of loving exercise or not exercise at all if you don't enjoy it. That's a lot easier for me to say as somebody in a smaller body, but I feel like it's important to just put that out there. Anyway, I wrote about joyful movement in one of my recent newsletters, which if you're not subscribed to my newsletter, you might want to get on that. I share anecdotes and stories and inspiration regarding diet culture, self-compassion, self-acceptance, body image. It's a short, little, juicy newsletter. It comes out every other Tuesday. And when you subscribe, you will get my free download, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. So you can subscribe to that. There's a link in the show notes. Just scroll on down. You can go to my website, pam-moore.com, and it should pop up. If it doesn't, just click on the podcast tab. You'll see the sign up form directly to the right. So that's a shameless plug for my every other week newsletter. You will be one of more than 700 people who get it in their inbox every other Tuesday. If you try it and you're like, ooh, I'm actually not liking this, that's okay. Just hit unsubscribe any old time. No pressure. Anyways, in my newsletter, I talked about joyful movement a couple weeks ago, and I got a lot of responses from people that sounded like they hadn't really heard the term joyful movement before, which surprised me. I thought everyone knew what it was. So let's break it down, because here's the thing. Joyful movement is an important part of rejecting diet culture. It's an important part of self-care, and it complements intuitive eating really nicely. I'm going to talk about what it is, why it matters, and how to get more joyful movement in your life. Number one, what is joyful movement? It is any type of physical activity. You might call it exercise. You might call it working out. You might not want to call it any of those things. Those words can be really triggering. But joyful movement is essentially moving your body. Let's call it that. Moving your body in a way that makes you feel good. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if that's walking, dancing, yoga, gardening. It could be running a marathon, but it absolutely doesn't have to be. I mean, you don't even have to break a sweat to call it joyful movement. It's not about burning calories. It's not about punishing yourself. It's not about loathing yourself into submission, because that never works, whether it's professionally, academically, in relationships, in your body. That's just not how it works. Like maybe short term, you can hate yourself into a quote unquote better version of yourself, but it is not sustainable. Ask anybody who has ever tried it, or I'm sure if you've tried it, you know it probably did not serve you. When I was in college, I was working at a bakery. I thought it would be really fun, but I had a really messed up relationship with food. I would go there, and on the way over, all my self-talk was like, you will not eat a croissant, or you will not eat a Danish. You will not, because we were allowed to eat anything we wanted. We donated so much. There was just more fresh bread, muffins, scones, croissants, you name it, more of that than you can imagine. In my head, it was like, I couldn't eat this stuff, because if I did, I would then be out of control and I wouldn't be able to stop myself. So one bite was not allowed. Or I would make up weird rules like I could have one thing, but only when my shift was over. Or I could have half of something, but only during my break. Of course, like an hour in to my shift, at some point or another, I'd have a bite of something. And then my thinking was, you've totally broken the rule. I might make some other weird rule, but by the end of the shift, all the rules were out the window. And I was like, screw it. I've ruined it. I couldn't control myself. I might as well just eat anything. And I would just be chaotically eating anything that I saw that looked good, regardless of my hunger or fullness level. Like, that was not even a factor. It was just this mentality of, I've messed it up. Tomorrow I'll be better. So today I might as well get it all out of my system just to restrict or do my best to restrict and do it all again on my next shift. I felt so bad about myself. And part of this whole time in my life included going to the gym. I would usually go to the gym after a shift, whether it was the same day or the next morning. And it was punishment. It was purely punishment. I felt so much guilt and shame about how out of control I was with the baked goods. I felt like the only way to quote unquote redeem myself would be to go to the gym, get on the Stairmaster. And it wasn't about fitness. It wasn't about increasing my endurance. It wasn't about anything except trying to undo what I had done. And I hated it. I hated how I felt. I would like listen to the same mixtape on my Walkman, which I was so sick of. And I would set the Stairmaster or whatever for like 30 minutes and just count down and just feeling so miserable in my body that whole entire time. It was awful. Now, by the same token, it's not like the Stairmaster is the devil. I remember some really joyful movement on the Stairmaster much, much later in my life when my relationship with food, it still wasn't great, but it was a whole lot different. During my first pregnancy, I remember getting on the Stairmaster, just kind of knowing I'm not going to really have this time to myself to be in my body in this way for quite a while. It was like the week that she was overdue. And I was just like, you know what I really feel like doing is moving my body in a way that will let me break a sweat, lift my mood. I wanted to watch an episode of Weeds. I was very into that show. Put that on the iPad, put in my earbuds, and just like take a break from reality for 30 minutes. And I was also hoping that the workout would induce labor because I was ready to be done being pregnant. But it was by no means connected to anything I had eaten. That's what I'm trying to say. The same exact movement can mean different things depending on the energy that you bring to it. So joyful movement it's not about the activity. It's about your mindset. Hey, it's Pam with a quick interruption. If you are ready to heal your relationship with food, exercise, your body, if you're ready to stop stressing about the scale, if you're ready to stop trying to shrink your body and have a much, much, much bigger life where you can really be present, I can help you. I am an intuitive eating coach with a background of over 10 years as an occupational therapist. I've also done health and fitness writing for publications including The Washington Post, Self, Runner's World, Bicycling, Outside, The Guardian, Time. And I have also, as you probably know, been on my own journey to heal my relationship with food and body image. If you want to know more about how I can help, check out my website. I'm at pam-moore.com. You can also just scroll down in the show notes. There's a link there. Also, I talk about all this stuff in my bi-weekly newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, scroll on down in the show notes. Just click on the link to sign up. When you do, you'll get my free download, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. And it's not always one or the other. It's not a binary thing, like either it's joyful movement or it's not. There are activities that I see them on a continuum. For example, if you just like spontaneously start dancing in your kitchen because a song that you love comes on and you just start dancing and maybe somebody else in your family joins you and you're laughing and you're having the best time, that's a no-brainer. That's 100% joyful movement. Then on the other hand, you've got like me sweating my face off in college on the Stairmaster in the campus gym. Absolutely not joyful movement. But then there are activities that are in the middle. For example, I'm training for a marathon. I have to do a track workout. I have to pace myself through, say the workout is 5 800s on the track with 400 jog recovery. It's not completely, what does my body feel like doing right now? No, it's partly, it's looking at my watch. You're looking at your watch for guidance on pacing and for when to go again. But is it joyful? Sure, it can absolutely be joyful. I've had so many track workouts that were like, maybe I didn't want to start. And maybe I hadn't, you know, I did the first interval and I was like, oh, I barely hit the pace. I don't feel good about this. Maybe I should throw in the towel. You know, and this is in service of a greater goal. This isn't in service of feeling joy in my body right this moment. But then as you get into the workout and maybe things start looking up, it took a while to warm up and you start feeling really, really good and you start being like, whoa, I am nailing these paces. I feel amazing. And you walk away from the track feeling empowered, feeling stronger, whether you nailed the workout or didn't. Maybe you feel great because you nailed it. Maybe you didn't nail it and you walk away and you feel good because you at least showed up and you tried the best you could and your best was whatever you had on that day. And that's okay too. Some people might not call that joyful movement because the workout has been prescribed. I disagree. I think there's an aspect of joy in there because it's about celebrating what you can do. It's about pushing yourself and seeing what you can do if that's something that motivates you. Now, for the person that really doesn't feel competitive and isn't training for a bigger goal, maybe that wouldn't be joyful movement. But if you're a person who training for an event motivates you and you feel like, hey, I feel good about myself because I just showed up for myself and I got that thing done and my mood is now better than it was before I started. In my mind, that's a form of joyful movement. I'm training for an aqua bike right now. It's a 1.2-mile swim in a reservoir followed by a 56-mile bike. So it's basically a half Ironman, only without the run. I pondered, should I do this race? I started to embrace intuitive eating not long before the pandemic. And then during the pandemic, I didn't really do anything competitive. And in the past, part of my drive for doing anything competitive, on top of wanting to be in nature, wanting to be social, wanting to elevate my mood, show up for myself, improve myself as an athlete, there was also always a tinge of and try to shrink my body in there. And now that I'm beyond that or moving beyond that on that journey to let that go and totally reject diet culture, which is, you know, I'm still not there, but I'm working on it every day. I'm like, how does training for a race fit in? Can I still do these things when they remind me of that time of my life when I was trying to shrink myself? And I think the answer to that is, well, let's look at what is the main energy behind it? Is the main energy, what is motivating me? Is it the fear of what will happen if I don't do this thing? Like if I don't show up to this workout, am I afraid of gaining weight? Am I afraid of all my friends getting faster than me and not being able to keep up with them next time they go? Is it a fear of, oh my God, am I a lazy piece of crap if I don't go do this? If I'm not an athlete, then do I even matter? Am I somebody? Will anyone notice me? If it's all fear-based, then I'm going to say, oh, that's definitely not joyful movement. On the other hand, if I think about the idea of a workout or a race and I'm excited about it, if I'm excited to get out there and I'm excited to push myself and I'm excited to see what I can do or not push myself, if I'm just like, I don't want to push myself. I just want a 30-minute recovery spin. I just want to move my legs, maybe break a sweat, just get out there, leave my house for a minute. That's joyful movement. And I don't think that the hallmark of joyful movement has to be that you're always 100% excited to do it. I think it's okay to say, I might not be excited to do this, but I'm going to make myself start. And if I still feel bad after 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, then I give myself permission to quit. And I'll tell you, as almost a, I want to say lifelong athlete, not exactly lifelong, I embraced all this stuff in my late teens and early 20s, but I often don't want to start. If I listen to the impulse in my body to like, I don't want to start, I would have missed so many opportunities for joy. I know the difference now. I'm now 43 years old. I know the difference between inertia, which is what it is most of the time. I feel the pull of like the laundry, the house, the kids, the unfinished tasks, which there are always going to be unfinished tasks. I feel those pulls. That's just inertia versus true, I shouldn't be doing this. For me, the sign is like when I wake up, some days I feel like my legs have got beaten by a bat, whether that's because of sleep deprivation, one bad night of sleep, a week of workouts kind of piling on top of each other and just a signal saying, you know what, whatever you had on the calendar doesn't matter. Today needs to be a day off, or it needs to be a day where you walk, or you maybe do 10 minutes of yoga. Then I listen to that. I respect that. But I think part of tuning into your body and really being compassionate to yourself is knowing the difference between the inertia and those true times where it's time to take a break. I guess I want to leave you with the idea that it's really important to ask yourself, what is the energy behind this form of movement? Is it more fear-based or is it more joy-based? And I would encourage you to look at the things that bring you joy. And if you are in the early stages of healing your relationship with food and exercise and your body, it might not make sense to do any of the normal activities that you used to do that you associated so strongly with self-loathing and attempting to shrink yourself or burn calories. There's nothing wrong with, and maybe there's a lot right with, just stopping those things for a while until you can get to a different place. Because it takes a while to, depending how long and how heavily you've been restricting and micromanaging and having this negative self-talk of like, I have to be this certain way and this is how I do it. Undoing it is not as simple as, you know what, this is wrong and I want to undo it. Tomorrow I'll be a different person. No, it takes work day after day after day. And it takes practice to lay down new neural pathways. And some of that might include letting go of whatever punishing movement practice you had, even if there were some aspects of it that you truly enjoyed. Maybe it was social. Maybe you did find that it elevated your mood. But maybe for a time, you need to just let go of that until you can significantly reduce or eliminate the association between that activity and the drive to make yourself smaller. So thank you for listening. If you have questions, ask me. You can shoot me an email, pam@pam-moore.com. You can always DM me on Instagram. I'm at pammoore303. I'm actually a huge fan of voice memos or voice messages, which you can do on Instagram. Same thing on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is funny. You just have to search Pam Moore. You'll find me. Twitter, I'm Pam Moore Writer. I'll respond to DMs there as well. I'm probably more responsive on Instagram, but thank you so much for being here. If you haven't, I would appreciate it so much if you would rate and review this show. If you've already done it on Apple, thank you. You're amazing. If you listen on Spotify and you haven't done it there, now Spotify has a feature where you can rate and review. Well, I don't know about reviews, but you can definitely rate a podcast. So I would love your 5-star ratings. That would mean a lot to me. It just boosts this podcast in the algorithm, helps other people find it, helps me get my message into other people's earbuds, which is you are already enough. So if that resonates with you, if you think this is important, if you got something out of this episode, share it with a friend. Like literally hit the little share button on your phone and text it to a friend and tell them I loved this episode, or post it on your Instagram stories, post it on Twitter, post it on Facebook, post it wherever. That's kind of how these things spread, right? That's why I listen to things. When a friend says, I really enjoy this, you should check it out. More often than not, I'm going to take a listen. So your support means a ton to me. And if you are interested in really doing the deep work of healing your relationship with food and exercise and starting to, if not love, accept your body, I can help you. I am an intuitive eating coach. I have a background as an OT. I have extensive experience writing about health and fitness. I've talked to all kinds of experts for my health and fitness articles, including some on body neutrality. And I've been through my own journey, as you've probably heard on this podcast. Not to mention, I've talked to now dozens of women athletes about how they negotiate this stuff. Anyways, I'm here for you. Check out my website. You can go to pam-moore.com to learn more about how we can work together. As always, until next time, keep it real.